sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company and the leader of Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And you're going to be able to ask some questions today. So I'm going to give you our call-in number. It's 840-1000, 405-840-1000. We have the electrician in the house. Good morning, Alan Pruitt, Hayes Electric.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. I really am doing awesome. We've been so busy, and I love making dreams happen for people or helping them out of bad spots. And so I've had a great week. And I hear your week's not over yet.
No, my week's never over. No, we're super, super busy too. It's this year's been good to us, and everybody needs something, and we try to get it everybody as quickly as possible.
There you go. We are going to be talking a lot about problems that come with summertime when it comes to your electrical system. Most often, I would think that amounts to heating and air conditioning. Is that right?
Well, it does a lot. Summertime is when the most power draw is being done, and it's not just from a single house, but it's from everybody. So it may not be electrical problems just in your home, but it may be on the electrical grid. You know, if it's getting older, whatever. And there's lots of parts of town that have old, you know, electric.
What happened the day it rained so hard to our electricity? Do you have a clue? Did you? Well, maybe you weren't out at your shop, but
My first question would be, which day?
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, we had about, I believe it was about a 3 square mile outage in Northwest Oklahoma City, and it stayed out for a couple hours.
I don't know, but a lot of times something like that is obviously an OG&E issue, that, you know, lightning strike or something like that, or.
Right.
You know, and it just takes some time to.
Well, I would imagine they don't want to get out there in the rain and work on electricity.
I will tell you, though, when something like that happens, it's not a bad idea for you to unplug, like, your high-dollar TVs and computers and things like that, because sometimes when the power comes back on, it can
surge.
Yeah, it can surge a little bit. Even with a surge protector, it's just better to unplug. That's the best protection you have for it not to be connected.
That's a good idea. Just not on, but not connected.
Not connected, yeah.
Oh, good advice.
Yeah, everything that has a circuit board in it, and I realize everybody doesn't know what that is, but typically it's computers, TVs, some even new furnaces have computer boards in them. And so I would say everything that you're capable of unplugging that you think might have a circuit board, and it's not a bad idea.
Right, just unplug.
Just unplug.
Well, in fact, it's not a bad idea to unplug every now and then anyway.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Unplug, go to church, go to the grocery store, wherever you go, and then come back and plug everything back
in. Right.
So. Yeah, I don't know.
I want to unplug every once in a while, you know, and just take a shower.
Yeah, there you go.
it's not just your appliances.
For sure. For sure. Well, when we talk about electricity, particularly on the in the summertime when we have the biggest draw on electricity, what are the most common problems?
The most common problems are the electrical panels themselves, or the disconnects for the ACs, but either one of those, they're probably pretty equal. They just die. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. We like to call it meltdown, but that's where panels can just, you'll start seeing lights dimming and odd things like that, or weird power type issues in the house. And typically if we go to the panel and open it up, where the breakers connect inside the panel, they start to deteriorate in there.
Okay, let's have some fun. Okay. You ready?
Sure.
What's the strangest thing you've ever seen in an electrical panel?
Oh, my
panel?
Word. Well, probably the most strange things I've seen in an electrical panel will probably have to do more with non-electrician work in an electrical. And you look at that stuff and you're like, oh, my word. You know, I gotta fix this. You know, and it may not even be something that you're there to fix.
Right.
You just happen to go to the panel to turn a circuit or something off, and you see that, and you're like, oh no. You know, and I can't think of any real specifics.
Non-standard fix materials being used.
Yeah, but there, I have seen some really 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 strange stuff.
Have you found any animals?
Yeah. Not in a panel. We did have a customer call us kind of on the edge of Nichols Hills area. And everybody that has been through that area knows that there are squirrels galore.
Right. Lots of trees, lots of squirrels.
Yeah. And I have gone to a house with another guy. And they were having some issues that had just occurred, and we were able to get out there. And when we got there, I'm not kidding you, that little booger was still smoldering in the attic.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
He had bitten off a little more than he could chew, literally.
Wow. Yeah. That's the problem with squirrels.
Can be.
Raccoons.
Yeah.
Anything that's going to nest in an attic.
Yeah, we've had our raccoon run-ins as well.
Right. I mean, they go up there and they chew. That's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one guy, and he was a larger fellow, but he was up in an attic, and we were really just kind of looking. Weren't really there to do any work unless it was really necessary. It was more of an estimate type thing. But he happened to be with me, and got up in there, and the guy said he had a raccoon, he thought, at one time.
Right.
And when we got up there, or he got up there, I'm just standing at the base of the entrance. And he's like, there's, you know, a lot of raccoon stuff up here. And I said, well, just look around and see if you can see what the problem is. And he says, Alan, it's staring at me. his first thing after that was hand me my knife, and I said, I'm thinking you probably ought to get out of there. I think he has a little more maneuverability in the attic than your 6'4" frame does.
Yeah, right. Right.
And so we told the customer we'd be glad to fix this stuff, but you need to hire somebody to get the raccoon out.
And who do you call for something like that?
There are some pest control places, right, that do that stuff, but
you know, there's I call any hour pest control, because right, they tackle almost anything. And Bill Graves over there has removed more stuff from my listings over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing he did not do for me was I had my tenant in a rental said that they thought they had gophers in the walls. And I said, gophers in your walls?
Would that not be squirrels?
Oh, yeah, I hear them scratching.
Yeah.
Well, no, they saw the digging. And I called Bill and asked him if he could take out my gophers for me. He said, well, I could, but why don't you call the gopher guy?
The gopher guy.
What gopher guy? And he goes, oh, he's got signs down in there. He said, now, he's from Norman, I think. I said, that's okay. No, he's from Moore. My property was in Norman. And he goes, so I call the gopher guy, and I said, I hear you take out gophers. And he said, yeah. I said, what if they're inside a house, like inside a wall? He said, that's what I do.
He didn't look like Bill Murray, did he?
Yeah, I know, right? And he goes, with a baby Ruth in his hand.
Right.
He goes, well, we what's your charge for doing this? He said, well, I charge $95 for the call and $10 a body.
Yeah.
I'm going, oh, okay. So my bill was $115, so I assume he got two bodies. But he got him out of there. Right. I don't know how he got him out of there. I'm not sure I want to know how he got him out of there. But
I'll tell you what, squirrels can do damage. They really, really can.
Do you know, on an inspection report recently, there were some vent screens in the soffit.
They will tear them out.
Well, this was under the electrical section
because
they had chewed the electrical wiring in the attic, and it was just unsafe. So, boy, we're talking critters. We're talking electricity. We're talking Bill Murray, Caddyshack. We'll be back right after this. Please stay tuned for more Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
Breeze Gopher!
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Thank you for staying tuned. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company. To contact me to help you with your real estate question, or you're just kind of considering selling a house, maybe you need to know how much it's worth before you even consider selling it. That's what I'm here for. BeckyIvins.com. Just go to the website, click on Becky's Favorites, and you're going to find several people there that I trust to do my work for me. And one of those folks is Alan Pruitt at Hayes Electric. And Alan's here in studio today, and we're talking about electricity. So, Alan, what number? I know your number. I don't have to ask.
789-2065.
I know that by heart for about 30 years at least.
Yeah, free estimates. Call me up.
Yeah, there you go. To call my office, by the way, just call 722-3232. We're in the 405 area code of 722-3232. Alan, you talked about the strain on the electrical panel. Electrical panel's the box, right?
Yeah, that's your breaker box or fuse panel, whatever it is you have, depending on the age of your house.
Okay. Yeah. And you talked about the summer being a real pull on the electrical panel.
Right. It's not just the draw on it. I mean, that is a huge part of it. But also, over the years, lots of houses have gotten their breaker box moved to the outside because it's the most economical way to move it out of a closet or something like that. The only downfall to that is if you don't have trees or something in your backyard, a lot of times the ones on the outside of the house get that hot summer sun, especially the evening sun. And it just pelts right down on the breaker box and increases the heat inside of that breaker box. That there's already some heat in there from power draws on the breakers and things like that. And it just really escalates the meltdown process, you know, in the panel.
Well, do you know, you could put something over it.
You really could. People don't think about
insulated.
It, though.
Insulated. Yep. Just a pan, but you would want to vent that so that the heat could escape, right?
Right. You don't want to hold all that heat in either. But even if the bottom was left open, you know, and you just had something in front of it just to block the sun, that would be great.
Okay. Well, we have a question.
Okay.
Good morning, Tim.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question?
My question is, what's the advantage, or are they good, whole house surge protectors?
Okay, yeah, we install those quite often. The cost is minimal, really, when it's compared to, you know, protecting everything in your home. Now, I will tell you, like I tell all of my other customers, I don't believe in anything being 100%. Okay, I just don't think it exists. But what I do in my own personal home is I have that lightning / surge arrestor in my panel. And then on all of my sensitive equipment in the house, TVs, computers, things like that, I still put a good protective outlet strip there. They're not plugged directly into the wall. And we're not talking about just a little outlet strip that just gives you more places to plug in. We're talking about one that has good protective properties.
How can you tell the difference? They all look alike.
Well, they kind of do. But if you look at the box, it'll have a Juul rating on there. And when you're talking about Juuls, you're talking about extreme levels of electricity, really, really high current. And that's what Juuls are about. So the higher Juul rating, the better it will protect.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. I learned something. The higher the Juul rating, the better it protects.
Right.
I've got the whole house thing, too.
Right.
But you guys have always told me to get a good surge protector.
Right.
And I'm going, okay, does that mean the one that costs most?
No, really. I tell people, you know, spend $30, $40 on one, you know, for your good equipment, and you should be in good shape. You don't need the, you know, the monster brand $300 thing. Those are nice, but it's not a necessity. Just $30, $40, good protective outlet.
But more than $9.99.
More than $9.99. That's okay. Not going to cover it.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Tim?
That handles me. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call. So we've got something that happens in our office. Tell me what you think about this. We have someone who's cold all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the people are hot all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we crank that air down because we want people happy and being able to work, right? So we tend to keep our office about 71.
Right.
However, in one office, we've got a space heater running. So I'm going, we don't need to use the heater and the air conditioner at the same time.
You need to turn into Spock and tell her that the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Oh, there you go. I'm sure she'll care.
Well, I will tell you this. Space heaters are one of electricians' biggest enemies.
Well, it keeps you in business.
It does. during the winter months, I'm not kidding you, two out of every 10 calls is space heater related, and they don't know it until we get there and tell them that it's space heater related. You know, they sell these things readily available. They plug right into your wall. They don't call for any special plug-ins.
But do they need a special plug-in?
You know what? A space heater is kind of like a microwave in the fact that it pulls a good amount of electricity. It has a pretty good draw. And, you know, microwaves, when we wire for those, they get their own circuit. And so when you plug in a space heater, you're taking a chance every time, depending on where you plug it in, whether it's in a bedroom or a living room or whatever. It's not just that space heater that's plugged in on that circuit and using power. There are other things if it's not a dedicated circuit. And so inevitably, breaker trips, they can't get it to reset because breakers have a cool-down period before they'll reset. So inevitably, we go out, you know, and by the time we get there, it'll reset, and we'll just say, hey, this is what your problem is. And also, I've seen many, many plugs burned up because a space heater's plugged in over a long period of time.
So is that why you have the little black stuff around some of your plugs?
It can be. Can be a lot, yep.
Well, we've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Okay. Folks, if you have an electrical question, I'm going to invite them. First of all, you can call here to the show, 405-840-1000. During the week, call Hayes Electric. I've used Hayes for 40 years and found them to be reasonably priced. They know the answers because they have very seasoned electricians there. That have a lot of experience. So that's 789-2065.
That is correct.
Call me at 722-3232. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We have a beautiful day today in Oklahoma City. You are listening to Becky Ivins. I serve Central Oklahoma in the real estate business. Have done that for 40 years and would love to help you do your business. Just give me a call at 722-3232. We're in the 405 area code. That's Central Oklahoma. So it's 722-3232. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill. Alan, have you eaten at Casa Perico?
I have.
You have?
It's wonderful.
A time or two,
yeah,
right?
It is wonderful.
Yeah. I love Casa Perico. There it's, yesterday, I ate at the one on 63rd. Mm-hmm. It's just west of Meridian. I walk in, they almost know my order every now and then. I give them a little bit of a different one.
Got to keep them on their toes.
Ah, there you go, for sure. Ran into a friend of my kids there that's waiting tables. Had a nice conversation with her. And she said, "You're Becky Ivins, aren't you?" And I said, "Well, I am." And she said, "I want to buy a house. I've seen your signs." And I've been, and I, and I said, "Remind me your name." And she told me. And I said, "You know, I've done a lot of business with your family right. over the years." And she said, "I know. That's why I've been looking for your number. And I couldn't remember how to spell your name." So my name's all about me and I. It's I-V-I-N-S
right.
if you're looking me up. So our word of the day today. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Jewel. You threw that out a while ago.
I did, yeah.
The word jewel.
Yep.
So basically, what is it? I can read the definition.
A measurement of energy.
There you go. Okay. Well, one jewel is defined as the amount of energy exerted when a force of 1 newton is applied over a displacement of 1 meter for 1 second. How it's dissipated over 1 second period of time. Every industry has measurements. Most right. every industry has measurements. Our most common measurement in real estate is square feet.
Right.
Everybody knows about price per square foot. You've got lots of measurements.
We do. Yeah. No, ours is there's a lot of math involved in electrical, not necessarily with your day to day, but you know, when you get deeper into it, there's geometry, trig.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff involved.
How does your old brain do that? Because I could do that in high school, but I'm not sure I could do that
now. You know, I do it much better now than I ever did in high school. But in high school, I thought, I'll never use this. And just for all you teachers out there that might be listening, you can tell your students that every single thing they do in life involves math.
I know, right?
It means more to me because I can apply it to something.
You know, and that's the same as when we help determine value.
Mm-hmm.
When we, on a piece of property, a lot of math is involved.
Right.
And when we figure cost sheets, estimate what the seller's going to net, mm-hmm. how much money the buyer's going to need to bring to closing. Even counting the number of days that you have to do inspections on, you would be surprised how many people get that wrong.
I have a short story for you.
Okay.
I was a young journeyman, had just gotten my license, and I was in charge of a job, a commercial job. And we were right at the end, and I had several guys out there just doing the finishing things. We had called in for our inspection. It was a Friday, about 3:30. And so
waiting for an inspector?
Waiting for the inspector to get there. Well, he comes up. I didn't recognize him at first. Normally, you can see their badge on them somewhere. His was on his belt and his shirt was over it. And he walks in there and he says, "Who's in charge here?" And I said, "Well, I guess me. What can I do for you?" And he looks at me and he says, "What's the square root of 3? And it just didn't click at first. And then he shuffled his clothing, and I saw the badge hanging there, and I said, oh, it's 1.732. And that was good enough for him. Basically, that is one of our calculations that we have to do if there is a three-phase service. When you're figuring the load, before you can get your final answer, you have to use the square root of 3 to get the load on each leg of the each phase of that service. And so I think he just wanted to know if I knew what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, he just told me a couple of jokes, looked at my stuff, gave me a green sticker, and went on about his business. So
math matters.
Math matters.
There you go. And I think we're putting a lot more emphasis on math in our school system. So that's a good thing.
Everything right? in the world revolves around math, one way or the other.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know something? You would think literature and writing would not revolve around math. But
well, there is.
One of my agents is an author, mm-hmm. a very accomplished author. And she knows how many words she needs to write each day to knock out a book by a certain deadline.
Right.
And she knows how many edits she's likely to have before she gets to the final end. So she has to figure out her schedule and take out times for vacation and recitals and such
right.
to get there. So even writing involves math. So, okay, so is our show about math?
Know, it kind of turned that direction.
Well, joule was our word of the day.
Joule.
And that's a measurement that can be calculated. So, tell me what you think about the power box. When the meltdown happens, what do you do to fix it?
Well, it depends. Every situation's a little bit different. A lot of times, though, when you have a meltdown, it's a house that is several years old. It's an older home. And if it is one of the situations where the box is on the outside, if everything else is up to snuff, basically, we can just maybe replace the box.
Is that your technical term?
Up to snuff.
Okay, gotcha.
It's electrical lingo.
Don't
dig in too far. So, but other times when it's in an older house and the panel's in the closet or something like that, that's where it gets a little more complicated and we have to move it out of the closet. It's not legal to be in a closet anymore because there are combustibles in there. So we have to move it out somewhere.
In most cases, there's a lot of combustibles in a closet.
Yeah, if shoes were combustible, everybody'd be in trouble.
Yeah, right.
But we'd have to move it outside, typically, because that's the most cost-effective place to move it. And a lot of times when they're in a closet, there's just not another good place to put it. So anyway, once you move it outside, typically the meter box has to be either moved and or replaced. The riser pipe that comes out of the top of your meter going up, a lot of times those wind up having to go through the roof, new pipe, new wire, grounding, bonding. There are lots of things. So it gets very in-depth once you have to move it.
Can you tell me just a little bit about bonding?
Bonding,
because we're seeing that a lot on inspection reports now.
Yeah, bonding, a typical person would look at it, but they'd say, well, you just ran a ground wire, so you're grounding. You're running from the grounded system off of the grounded system, so you're just bonding to a point.
Okay.
Okay. You're bonding whatever it is you're attaching to your grounded system.
Well, and typically it's the gas line.
It is a gas line. We see it in inspection reports all the time, the CCST line.
Right.
Okay. All that is a gas line where they used to run the hard pipe,
right.
rigid pipe for all the gas line. Now, a lot of guys are running this flexible gas line, and it's great. It saves a lot of time and a lot of money for the person doing the work and the person paying for the work. So,
right.
But
we're seeing people, inspectors requiring that be replaced now, though.
I haven't seen that yet, and I'm not sure that they can. It is legal to run, so they can't require to my knowledge, to that it be replaced.
Okay.
But it does need to be properly bonded to the grounded system. And so you're basically just taking a wire from your ground lugs in the panel and running to the gas line and bonding to it where it changes, either outside at the main or where it changes from hard pipe to
flexible.
The flexible. If it's not bonded, you're running risk of if you have your house gets hit by lightning, it can blow a hole in that gas line, and then you just have a live torch up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and they also want us to bond to the water lines. So if you still have copper pipe, you're not, you don't have PEX or something like that, then we need to bond the water line also. It's basically just making an electrical grid to be able to go out to ground if something were to happen.
Okay.
You're just connecting everything to go out.
That makes sense, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
CSST, we see that a lot. Corrugated stainless steel tubing. Right. We had one that where the plastic that kind of is bonded to the
right.
the tubing itself
right.
was cut back too far,
yeah.
they said, on each end. And it can only be cut back. I forgot.
I don't know how far it is, but you were, that's they cut them where they put their connectors on.
Right.
And if they cut that sheathing back too far, then it's...
Then it's no longer, right. they consider, protected.
Right.
So there's a lot to it, isn't
there? There is.
Okay. Alan Hayes with... Alan Hayes, listen to me.
I get it all the time.
Okay. Alan Pruitt with Hayes Electric. And... It's time for a break. Stay tuned here with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, and my guest today on the radio is Alan Pruitt with Hayes Electric.
Right? Hello,
hello. Hello, hello. Alan, what else do we need to talk about on electricity?
Boy, you put me on the spot.
Yeah, there you go. I think you've been put on the spot a few times.
Once or twice.
Yeah. So what else should the people kind of know going into summer? How can they prevent the meltdown of overuse? How do you know how many circuits you've even got in your house? How do you know whether your refrigerator and your stove and your microwave are all on the same circuit?
Really, there's no trick to it. As far as the amount of circuitry that you have in your house, you can literally go over there and count all of the single breakers that are in there, and those will be circuits that are running in your house. Not the double breakers. Those are your typically appliances, air conditioner, stuff like that. But the single breakers, if you count those, that'll let you know how many you have. The only other way that you tell if something is on its own circuit or if it's on with other things, it's just going through, like if you want to find out your refrigerator is on with something else, just go through there and flip breakers until your refrigerator goes off and look around and see if anything else is off with it. There really is no trick to it.
Investigative electricity.
That's it. You just got to do a little footwork and grab a pen,
okay.
mark that panel out. Typically, if a house is more than 10 or 15 years old, a lot of times they're... The panel schedule is not 100% correct.
Right.
Something's been done and not been remarked.
Well, I wanted to ask you about lights. I went to an event this week, a breakfast event, and there all the talk was about the wafer lights.
Oh, yeah.
People didn't call them the wafer lights. They still were calling them canned lights.
Yeah, they are not canned lights, though. Wafer lights are, they're spectacular. I think we put some in your house, did we not?
Well, we could land an airplane in my yeah. house. I
or
am not
get a tan.
Kidding you. Or get a tan, yeah. right.
Yeah, no, those things are spectacular. And really, they're very similar to a recessed can in the look, anyway. They're a little more streamlined, I think, flat. But it kind of takes the can part out of the installation. There is no can. They're all self-contained, and they go up easily and quickly. And I think they're spectacular.
Well, I love them. Now, I went ahead and put decorative lights up, too.
Right.
Because I just wanted it to be pretty.
Sure.
I considered the rest of it. We redid the kitchen. Decided, well, I want good lights to operate by because I operate on my island. It's big enough to operate on, isn't it?
You got them. Those are great.
But I wanted to put the jewelry on. So you guys installed a separate thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't have an extra switch to use. So you guys put some kind of a remote control.
It's called Caseta, I believe is probably what we're
putting. Looks like a switch on the wall.
Yeah.
But it's not really wired into anything.
They're great. They're great. My whole house is Caseta, and I can control it. Now, we didn't do this in your home, but you can actually get a little box that plugs into your router, and I can control every light in my house from my phone. And it's relatively cost effective.
Well, I was shocked at how affordable that was.
Yeah, no, they're very nice.
And it was a good solution.
And another great thing about that system is that if you have, say, a place in your house that has three ways, like if there's multiple ways to get into your kitchen, and so it would have a switch at each end, it's three-way. If you have that on a dimmer, typically you can only dim that from one switch.
Right.
But with the Caseta system, you can dim it from either end. And so that's a really cool fact, you know, on that stuff. It's spectacular. I love it.
Well, the wafer lights that you guys put in was, I just could not believe that they could look like a canned light and be like, they were way less than an inch thick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're super thin. They go up very quickly. It's really an ideal light for installation.
The LED lighting was, I was shocked because I thought it might look blue.
No. And a lot of people worry about that. When the LEDs first started becoming available to the public, a lot of what you saw was that blue light. And that blue light is not conducive to home life.
Well,
for sure.
It gives a lot of people a headache.
Yeah.
It also casts
shadows really bad.
Well, and it's an industrial look, almost like a body shop or something.
I can actually even get let me back up. What you're just talking about is part of that K factor that is attached to LEDs, so you know what the color or hue of the light's going to be.
Right.
Okay, when you get into that blue, you're getting into that 5,000 K area.
Well, what does the K stand for? That's not
Kelvin.
Oh, it is Kelvin.
It is Kelvin, yeah.
So, but you put 4,000 in my house.
4,000. 4,000 is just a nice white, usable light.
Not yellow. It's not
yellow.
Blue.
But for people that would like to switch to LEDs, and don't want that super bright white light, we can get them in that lower color. And that's more of a 2,700, 3,000 K area as far as color.
Yeah, so if you want more of the incandescent look.
Right, so if that's what you're used to and you don't like the other, we can do it the other way and you can still have your LED. As a matter of fact, I can get wafer lights that have a switch on them. Up on the makeup box, and so as they're going up, we can flip this switch, and you can decide which color looks best for your application.
All right. Hayes Electric, always a good vendor that I rely on, and you can too. We're going to be back here next week, but I want to remind you guys, mark your calendars for June 19th out at the fairgrounds. The 50 Plus Expo will be there. I'll be there during that time. So join us here next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.